It's Bucky and Aaron.
It's a freshly tossed salad, period. That's it. Not looking up anything in any dictionary. I'm allowed to say that.
Why does it have to be a toss salad? Why can't it just be a fresh salad?
Because you toss a salad. Don't you ever see the little bongs or tongs
toss
or whatever
it,
you use?
Toss it.
You toss it around. I do that at night when I make my freshly tossed salad.
With Kingsbury?
No. I don't know. I'm not going there.
Whoever's around.
It's Monday, and I'm not going there. I'm just being straight up. When he goes by you, it'll make you turn back around.
Yeah, and it's only a few weeks out now to Big 12 Media Days. Bucky and Cliff Kingsbury can get reacquainted. It's been a year since you saw him.
It's almost like I can smell him going by.
That's coming up. We'll have live coverage from Big 12 Media Days in a few weeks. From Frisco, Texas. It's not in downtown Dallas this year. It's up at the new Star Complex.
Frisco north or south?
Oh, it's north.
It is?
Mm-hmm.
Like going to Texarkana that way?
Yeah. You're about to the border by the time you get to Frisco.
You guys
really?
Ever been to Frisco?
No, I've never been to Frisco.
It's like going to Round Rock or Georgetown north here. It's a good 25.
It's a long way from Dallas, actually.
Oh, it's way out there. I mean, that's where the Rangers Double A team, the Rough Riders play in Frisco, and it's its own community. I mean, it's if you live in Houston, it's kind of like the Woodlands, if you go due north, or Kingwood. But, yeah, it's its own place. And
so it doesn't do me any great deal to go 281 the back way now. I might as well go down that craziness called I-35.
Yeah. Well, the trek up I-35, it's all done now through Salado, which is
good. Oh, it is?
Oh, yeah. And now it's a mess.
Where? Where is it a mess now?
When you get north of Belton, it's kind of a mess up until Waco. But, we'll make that trip in a couple of weeks. BK, you made that trip this week up, and you took in a Rangers game Monday night. How was it?
Well, they lost, which is standard practice. The bullpen blew it, which is standard practice. But no, it was good. It was my first game of the season. Always good to be at any sort of ballpark. And saw some of the old friends, spent one night up there, and came back to the 512, man.
Yeah, nice. But Frisco, how far is that? What, 30 minutes from downtown Dallas?
Yeah, about that. I mean, Frisco used to be just a small, so probably like what, talking about Round Rock and Cedar Park, what they used to be. But over the years, Frisco is just a booming city. Now that thing is growing big time. And, with Jerry World or Jerry World Jr. 2.0, whatever you want to call it, the star, that place is big time.
It's a long way from Lone Star Park.
Oh, it is from the track?
Sorry, man.
Whew.
Yeah.
Well, that's not going to stop me, but I'm a truck driver. That's not going to stop me from getting
a
Lone Star.
Track drag rat.
Oh, yeah.
Track rat over there.
On a Sunday, you kidding me?
Yeah, we'll be up there bringing you live coverage, 2 days of Big 12 football conversation. That's coming up a week from Monday.
Thanks to our guy from Syntex Tickets. Our good
Shelby.
Man over there, Shelby.
That's right.
Yeah?
That's right. No, yeah, I mean, it's all plowing in. So it's, a week from this Monday, which will be the 17th, and then the 18th will be our live coverage. All right, let's dive into your headlines. We'll hit your coach's corner this hour, including two Longhorns on the Sporting News preseason All-America team. Get you details on that and the other coaching news of the day, but let's get you your headlines. Ticket City Update Desk We Go. Headlines brought to you by UBO Business Services, formerly Documation, now UBO. Great people there. Start with Major League Baseball and plenty of 4th of July fireworks for those Houston Astros last night. What a run they are on. Jose Altuve, homer, drove in 4. Yuli Gurriel doubled twice, drove in 4 as well. George Springer, all he did was go 4-for-5 with a home run. Oh, yeah, Josh Reddick hit a grand slam. Astros pound Atlanta 16-4 last night. Houston's now won 11-14. They banged out 19 hits to tie a season high. They're now 30 games over 500 at 57-27. And a ridiculous 30-9 on the road this season. They own a 16-game lead in the American League West as we sit here this morning. In Arlington last night, fireworks for the bad guys as Andrew Benintendi went 5-for-5, homered a couple times, drove in 6, had backed up 6 scoreless innings for David Price. Boston beat up on the Rangers 11-4. They have the longest win streak in the majors right now at 6 games. And they won the first two in Arlington. Memphis routed Round Rock 10-1 last night at Dell Diamond as the E-Train returned home for a 4th of July special and got beat up by the best team in the PCL. The Redbirds win it. They'll play again tonight, 7:05, right here on the Horn. By the way, if you missed it over the long Independence Day weekend, MLB All-Star teams were announced ahead of next week's Midsummer Classic, Tuesday in Miami. Houston sending 5 players to South Beach, including 3 starters voted in. Jose Altuve will start at second base once again. Another year for him there. His keystone mate, Carlos Correa, will start his first game at shortstop. George Springer will start in the outfield. Starting pitchers Dallas Keuchel and Lance McCullers Jr. also headed to Miami. Yu Darvish, Miami bound for the Texas Rangers. And shortstop Elvis Andrus, one of 5 players that fans can vote on in the final spot. Probably deserves your vote. He's had a heck of a first half. NBA free agency news. The top remaining free agent in this summer's class is off the board. All-Star Gordon Hayward announced last night via the Players Tribune website that he's going to leave the Utah Jazz after seven seasons and will sign with the Boston Celtics. Celtics, of course, are coached by his college head coach, Brad Stevens. They were together at Butler. Now they're reunited with the Celtics. And that's the news from the Ticket City update desk. A lot of folks on the Specs text line, Buck, wondering about the Spurs and where are the Spurs. You know, we come in here on a Wednesday that feels like a Monday, but it's already midweek and a short week. But what have the Spurs done? And the answer is not much. I mean, I think once Pau Gasol opted out of his contract, a lot of Spurs fans were anticipating some moves. And outside of re-signing Patty Mills, they haven't done much. You know, they're standing pat. And the question is, are they standing pat or are they just missing out? Did they miss out on the Chris Paul situation? I know that there was interest for sure. Gordon Hayward's a guy you kind of thought maybe was a Spurs kind of guy. You know, the Paul George conversation. The Spurs have added no new pieces to that team. While you know the other, you know, Oklahoma City's added Paul George, Rockets have added Chris Paul. I don't know how much it changes, but I know Spurs fans were hoping for at least one addition, significant addition to what they do. So far, that hadn't come.
Well, I thought they were going to stay. They stay pat if they didn't get Chris Paul and really try to build on what they have. And they believe, speaking of believing in the process, I think Pop and the organization believes that they can make some of these young guys into really, really not just good players, but one of them at least into a superstar at guard. The other guy, Simmons, I think is going to be a really solid player. He'll get better. But I think they have a lot of faith in LaMarcus Aldridge. I think all that talk about him not getting along and all this other stuff, I don't know what that was all about. But he's not going anywhere. He hasn't gone anywhere. And they think that they're going to give him another shot at it to do something for him next year. Speaking of believing in the process.
No, I mean, I still think that's up in the air. I mean, the word is that he was upset that he was even mentioned in trade talks and that he's not happy with his role there. You know, the fans have been on him. We'll see where LaMarcus is. But they need him. I mean, they need him to play at a high level. And mm-hmm. I still believe to really compete in the Western Conference, they needed to add one more significant piece, and they haven't done that. You know, whether it was Chris Paul, you know, as we've said a lot, if LaMarcus Aldridge is your third best player, you're a real contender because LaMarcus is still a good player.
Yes.
And he's not playing like he did in Portland a couple of years ago, but he's still, as you found out in the postseason last year, when Kawhi got hurt, when you needed him to be your best player, that's a real problem because when Kawhi got hurt, the best player on that team was Jonathan Simmons. I mean, he became right. their best player. And that tells you where LaMarcus is. But as I say, as a skilled 6'11 big, if he's your third guy, if he's your, you know, you're in a good spot, but they still haven't added that second guy. Who is that going to be? And that becomes the question for Greg Popovich. You know, the Rockets and James Harden, you know, worked the Chris Paul deal. And then there's talk that they're going to be a part of others. Congratulations to former Longhorn P.J. Tucker. He signed on with the Houston Rockets over the break. He gets a four-year deal to bring some defense and some toughness to the Rockets. I mean, they still have Nene. They still have you know, Eric Gordon and some pieces. But, yeah, the Spurs, quiet so far. And the Gordon Hayward headline is that finally the Eastern Conference has added another star player. We mentioned off the top of the show, if you list off the top 15 players in the league, as of before last night's signing by Gordon Hayward, LeBron James would have been the only one of the 15 that plays in the Eastern Conference.
He and the kid from Boston, that's the only two I can think of.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Before last night's signing,
right. Yeah.
When he was still a member of the Utah Jazz, or at least had been there, you know, that is an imbalance. I mean, if you really list off the top 15 players, with Paul George moving west, you know, they're really, who are the best players in the East right now? I mean, LeBron, Kyrie, they're on the same team. You know, Isaiah Thomas.
That's it. You can stop.
I don't think he's in the top. Is he in the top 15 players in the league?
I think so. Yeah. In the top 15, yes.
And he finished fifth in MVP.
Yeah, I would say he's in the top 15.
John Wall.
Yeah, and John Wall. But that's it. You can stop. Yeah. I mean, you can.
Hayward's not even. I mean, Hayward was an all-star last year in the West, but he's not a top 15 player in the league. He's top 25, but not top 15. And one more domino that could potentially fall. He's not a free agent, but the guy who could be the last dude out there to potentially shift balance of power in the NBA is still Carmelo Anthony. I mean, it's still Cleveland or Houston if in fact there is a buyout or if in fact he's able to get his no trade clause waived and get dealt from the New York Knicks. I mean, Carmelo's not a top 15 player.
How about young
anymore,
Mr. Turner, Miles Turner? If you can get him while he's nice and young and he'll start developing. He developed pretty nicely last year, right?
Oh, they're gonna keep him. I mean, he's gonna be the future of the Indiana Pacers rebuild. He's been great in his 2 years.
Yeah, Miles Turner is going to be the face of that team moving forward, and they picked up Oladipo in that trade and at least got something. Oladipo, of course, played at Indiana, so now he's back in that area.
Mother chicken
for Miles Turner.
Yeah.
But, Carmelo's interesting. Now, he's an enigma, but if he does get bought out, and I think that's a big if at this point. Will James Dolan go there and actually buy him out? If he does, Cleveland's an obvious landing spot, right, with LeBron and Kyrie Irving, and you could even keep Kevin Love, because if he gets bought out, he's going to be able to sign for pretty cheap because he just got a big chunk of money from the Knicks to move. Essentially paying people not to play on my team is such a great thing about the NBA. But if he goes to Cleveland, one of the issues Cleveland had is when LeBron James would leave the floor, they would fall apart.
Sure.
Well, you would argue that wherever Carmelo Anthony is, if he's on the floor, how about Carmelo Anthony as your sixth man coming off the bench?
That's right? Okay.
LeBron goes to the bench, and here comes Carmelo to pick up the scoring slack and to add the punch, and LeBron can get some wind, and you don't fall apart like you had this past year. Carmelo Anthony's a 20 to 25-minute guy who spells LeBron, and then in crunch time, you let LeBron facilitate for he and Kyrie Irving and the rest of that team. That would be a huge addition, and obviously the Houston Rockets would like to add Carmelo Anthony, which I'm a Rockets fan, but I don't even know if that would be likable, that you have James Harden and Carmelo Anthony, two guys who don't really want to play defense. They don't really care about playing that end of the floor. And I don't know. That would be interesting to see if those three got together down in Houston.
And for a Jazz team that, are really trying to make some hay, they just screwed themselves. He wasn't going to stay there anyway. He wasn't going to be a lifer. How good is he? We'll find out. And with the Celtics and that group, he's going to fit in well there. That's a good set right there. But they should have went after Paul George also. If he's a one-year guy, Paul George could have come to the Celtics. They could have played in the championship versus the Warriors and played well enough that maybe Paul George says, I'm staying.
Yeah, well, that was kind of the hope. And I think Boston fans are frustrated with Danny Ainge that he's been not aggressive enough in pursuing a player like Paul George, but time will tell. I think the question is, because the Celtic fans and Danny Ainge are talking about trust the process, and they have all these number one draft picks. I just don't know if you draft stars anymore. I just don't know in the league where you used to be able to draft superstars.
I know you're not going to get value back for them.
Well,
doesn't happen.
I think in this day and age, you used to be able to draft Larry Bird and Kevin McHale and Robert Parrish and build a dynasty like that. Celtics and Lakers. But this day and age, you acquire stars more than you draft stars, because guys take 4 or 5 years before they become star players once they're drafted, because they're only 18 or 19 years old.
I agree. It
takes them a little while. So you have to go try to acquire established stars. We'll see. Danny Ainge could have the last laugh if all these draft picks turn into, Jason Tatum out of Duke turns into a star player. It's right, but at the same time, Paul George, is an established top 10 player who was available, and quite honestly, Oklahoma City didn't give up a lot to get him at the end of the day, and even if it's a one-year rental.
Yeah, there's the Jazz in Oklahoma City after 1 year, going, now what are we going to do with our franchise?
Yeah,
and all these guys bolt.
They went for it. They acquired Oladipo last year before Kevin Durant bolted. Well, they used that asset and Sabonis, the big guy, to go get Paul George for a year to put him with Russell Westbrook. The question is, there's already the theories that he, Russell Westbrook, and LeBron James are going to sign with the Lakers next season in a crazy July of 2018. We'll see. But
why not? LeBron gets to be in L.A. He's won enough championships. It'll be about the future. It may not be that much about basketball. And then he still has an opportunity to beat the Warriors if he goes there.
Right.
It's
well,
crazy.
And that's...
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, BK.
I was just going to say, you guys are going to have to explain to your grandkids that at some point, Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Russell Westbrook were all on the same team, and they didn't win a title, and they all left within a 5-year stretch.
And didn't keep any of them, yep.
You're going to show them a picture of those three guys on the same squad, and they're going to think it's Photoshop.
That's right. And the interesting part of the Cleveland Cavaliers side of it is, reports are that for the first time since he's been in Cleveland, LeBron James is not actively pursuing free agents, not a part of helping Dan Gilbert, because of course he fired the general manager, and that rift seems to be there. Remember, and the other news over the weekend, Chauncey Billups, who was the odds favorite to become the team president, turned down the job. Said he didn't want it.
TV's better.
No thanks.
It's more fun on TV.
I'm good over here.
Yeah.
You keep your gig. Maybe he knows something about LeBron James in next year. All right, let's dive into your coach's corner at just past 7:15.
Welcome to the Coach's Corner.
All right, it's your Coach's Corner. A little football conversation, Buck. I give you this and see where you stand on it. Two Longhorn football players have been named to the Sporting News All-American preseason squad. One of them, of course, Connor Williams, left tackle, named a first teamer, according to the Sporting News, first team left tackle, while junior linebacker Malik Jefferson, preseason second team All-American. You buying that?
I mean, eventually he's going to have to play to his prestige. I mean, we're coming out of high school, he was a freshman All-American. I would think by now, going into his junior year, it's put up or shut up. No matter who the coach is, you can be athletic enough, and you can have all the athletic attributes to be a great one. So this is it for him right here. Let's see what it's all about. Do I believe it's that he's a second team All-American? Not after what I saw last year.
He hadn't played like one.
No.
And that becomes a question. I mean, I think if you tell Longhorn fans right now and Tom Herman that he's going to play like a second team All-American, Texas' defense should be significantly better this year under Todd Orlando than it was. And that's, you know, they're trying to build strength in his lower half. And, you know the Tom Herman comment that he benches more than he could squat and that, you know, he's not physical enough at the point of attack. He likes to chase balls down instead of, you know, taking on blocks.
I like to see him be coached. I mean, first year, of course, we watched him do the things he did in high school, run around blocks, make plays. Everybody was really thrilled. And he just showed athletic ability then. But this second year, people start to look at film of him and say, if you get on him, he can't get off of you. You know what I'm saying? If you get your arms on him, forget about it. And now if he's got a linebacker coach, a guy that's played the position, I would expect that he's going to get real, real physical and learn how to play.
He's going to be challenged to get better.
Well,
I think that's fair.
If not, then he won't play a lot. If somebody else is bigger or stronger, you know, maybe. I don't think there's many guys on that football team that are faster than he is in open space. So,
well, no. I mean, the athletic ability is not questioned and challenged, and that's where if you can get the most out of it and he can learn to actually play linebacker. And I think what you're saying, remember in high school, coming out of Mesquite, I mean, all he really did was pin his ears back and rush the quarterback.
Yeah, come off the corner. Who the hell's going to get – what tackle in high school is going to be able to handle him?
Right, and when he got here, he was – you know, Charlie Strong decided it was a good idea to move him to middle linebacker.
Let him go loose.
And let him anchor the defense. Well, you got to coach him to be a middle linebacker.
No, because he ran around blocks and stuff like that.
Yeah. He doesn't want to be physical. He doesn't want to, you know, stick his nose in there.
He made fantastic plays six yards down the field.
Yeah.
He just ran them down.
Balls down.
Right.
But they need someone to stick their nose in there and be the point of attack on defense. Is that Anthony Wheeler? Is it Malik Jefferson? You know, there was talk about Brecken Hager. Who's going to be that guy?
I still don't want to lose Brecken Hager on the outside.
I don't either. I mean, he and Malcolm Roach should be your guys coming off the edge, and Nashawn Hughes wreaking havoc and forcing the deal. But you need, because Connor Williams is a star player at left tackle. I mean,
no doubt.
I mean, you watch him. He's a technician. He's great in pass protection. He's got to get a little more physical in the run blocking game, which I think he will. He's adding weight and strength. I mean, he's a guy that the NFL is watching and saying, okay, that guy is going to be a next-level player.
And I think a kid from Euless Trinity is going to show you that after taking a year off and just thinking he was so great, is going to work his ass off, and he's going to be a fantastic guard. I think with those two on the same side, if they're on the same side, I think that's a problem for people.
Well, and that's Pat Vahe. If he comes back. And again, they upgraded when McMillan came on the field last year, Jake McMillan. When he and Connor Williams rank on the left side is when Deontay Foreman became devastating in the run game. And McMillan's a former wrestler who plays with great leverage and is really a tough guy. You tell me you've got Connor Williams, McMillan, Zach Shackelford, and then Pat Vahe left to right, and Vahe actually slides over to right guard.
Yes.
And then your only battle is for right tackle.
Well, if the other two guys played that well together, you look combo those guys and feel good about
it. They were great. They were great, you know, teamwork type thing. And, you know, does that Zach Shackelford add the muscle and the strength? Because he got pushed around a lot last year as an undersized center.
See, he was a freshman?
True freshman, yeah, from Belton.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got a center that's played there. I mean, you got maybe a four-year starter. That's good stuff.
And that can be a strength. But, again, I think offensive line, wide receiver, I mean, I think they're pretty good. Obviously, Shane Buechele had a great, you know, Manning camp. And
Cass, they scored 10 more. They're scoring more points this year. So,
but the key to the team will be the defense.
Absolutely.
The defense.
And special teams.
Because they were horrendous for most of the year. The last 2 years, they've been historically bad on the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, Charlie Strong was brought in as a defensive coach, and the defense regressed in his time, even though
they got better when he became coordinator.
Oh.
Did they really get better? Yes?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the first five or six games, they were completely out of position all the time, pointing at each other, Didn't know which coverages they were in most of the time. Missed tackles. They weren't physical. I mean, it was bad. And that's why Vance Bedford was demoted. But, that'll tell the tale of Texas. I mean, are they Shane Buechele staying healthy and that defense improving and playing more consistently on that side of the ball and more physically on that side of the ball will be decide if this is a, you know, 6 or 7 win team or a
9 or 10
win team.
Yeah. You know, I was saying, folks, that I thought that this team, it doesn't matter who the running back is. I need to bring that back a little bit. When you lose a 2,000-yard rusher, you have to have a talented running back. You don't have to have a great one, but your running back is going to have to pick up some of the slack too. I mean, just because of what Tom Herman did at Houston doesn't mean automatically that anybody can go and sit at the running back position and become and make this team really special. So, Porter, you're going to have to get something out of Chris Warren. They have to be pretty good at running back. You can't just be average. Sorry about that, because I was saying that he can take an average running back, but 2,000 yards is a lot of yards to make up for. It just is.
No, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, Deontay Foreman burst on the scene. But remember, started last year, he wasn't even the starter.
Right.
I mean, and
they
so
thought Chris Warren's going to be the guy.
Chris Warren was going to be the guy. And but this is where we all get to follow in Tom Herman. You trust Tom Herman, wherever he's been, has had a dynamic offense. I mean, that's just...
He has, you're right.
He went down to Houston and took what was looked to be kind of a ragtag group, and that was a terrific offense with Greg Ward and... You know, Duke Catalan, who was a Texas cast off at running back.
He made him look great.
I mean, what he did, you know, Ohio State fans still long for the days of Tom Herman. And so, you know, that side of the ball you feel like is in good hands. Got to see it. Shane Buechele coming off a good summer with a full year under his belt. But, you know, to me, when we go back to the beginning of this, Sporting News ranks Connor Williams as first team preseason All-American. I think that's true. And I think he's going to be an anchor of their offense. If Malik Jefferson plays to All-American level, on the defensive side, Texas will be significantly.
It really becomes
a
leader where everybody sees that he's physical and
sure.
not because you're the guys that play with you know when you're physical. They know when you run around blocks and make some tackle and everybody's jumping up and down. Wasn't that great? Players around you know that, oh my God, if I could just do that, run around a tackle and make a tackle downfield, I'd be pretty good myself. But I gotta stay here and be physical, and that's what he has to do. But the guy I'm really gonna look at, I'm gonna look at Pat Vahe a lot this season and early and just see if that was just that guy being lazy for a year and thinking that just his strength and everything else, that he got away with it. And he even said it in the paper. I kind of got lazy.
I think a lot of those guys who had great freshman years got complacent. I think you saw that show up on the field, Malik Jefferson being one of them, Pat Vahe, the guys
secondary.
In the secondary who took a step backwards, the sophomore slump, as they call it. They've got to be great as juniors. They've got to all step forward and get back to playing like you thought the glimpse you saw as freshmen.
Because there's no draft picks in that group that are going to be juniors except for Connor Williams.
But you know what? The NFL would tell you if they get back to playing at a high level, a guy like Holton Hill, a defensive back,
yes.
Chris Boyd, Devontae Davis, those guys are all – they all have NFL bodies.
Well, if not, they'll be losing their job to a bunch of incoming freshmen
that are
pretty good.
That's right. All right, Vandy on the horn. So Coach's Corner, Tom Herman in Texas, 59 days away to the start of the college football season. We'll be in Big D Dallas for the Big 12 Media Days a week from Monday as we start the countdown to college football. And the horn, top 25, will get going in about 3 weeks' time.
And we'll be having some of their assistant coaches come on here soon, too. We'll start hearing from guys in the summertime, yes.
That's right, getting to know some of the new assistant coaches at Texas as we count it down 59 days out. All right, your thoughts there. B&E on the horn. We'll hit that. We'll dive back into NBA and the free agency. The Astros pounding lumps into the Braves last night and really pounding lumps into all of Major League Baseball. Get your details there. BK will lead us through Hot or Not before the end of this hour on a Wednesday, 5 July. Hope you had a great time off. If you took the 4 days like we did, you're back at it on a Wednesday. It's B&E on the horn.
Mornings with Bucky and Aaron.
Sure is. B&E on a Wednesday. Glad you're with us. Hope you had a great 4th of July. Got some fireworks, maybe some family, some fun, some good food, all of the above. Certainly you got the heat. It's going to be hot again today. 100 degrees and sunny in Austin, Texas after the morning low clouds burn off. But warm will be the name of the game. The rest of this week, talking NBA free agency, Gordon Hayward to the Celtics as Danny Ainge lands a big fish and a big name for the first time, making Celtic fans happy after they lost out on the Paul George situation. Spurs have done very little. Rockets acquire Chris Paul and sign PJ Tucker away from Toronto for a 4-year deal. So we'll talk some more NBA as we move forward. Also on the way to the break, we're talking Texas football, 59 days out to the start of the college football season. Texas and Maryland, 59 days and just over 3 hours away.
And over the weekend, of course, not what I call the holiday weekend or so, I did have a waiter that had a double bun on his head.
A man bun. Not just one, but two?
I was like, why don't you just go pigtails, dude? Come on. Cut me a break. Don't bun it up. Why don't you just have two long pigtails and wait right there for me? Come on. Don't just bun it up. Double bun, E. Double bun. Just like a little girl. Like a little girl. One over here, one over there. That's outrageous.
It's like a little girl, a little kid.
Like a little kid. Like a little baby. Hi, little baby. How are you, little baby? Can you serve me some? Can I get steak with that? With your double bun?
Double bun.
What?
Yeah, yeah, man. You're not down with double bun, are you? I mean, isn't one really hard enough? But to see a dude with a double bun.
Two buns?
Yeah, with a part down the middle of his head.
Dude, you can't have one of those. You can't have any of those.
I don't think so.
Oh, man buns.
But a double man bun?
Dude's rocking the romper. Is that what he was wearing?
Should have been. Speaking of that, has your boy got his romper deal yet done?
No, he did get the an email over the weekend that it has shipped. So it is on its way.
Is this thing coming from the Soviet Union, from Putin?
Well, it's got Kim Jong-un on it, so it might be coming from North Korea itself.
Romper. Oh, that's all going down. BK, did you watch the hot dog eating contest, the competitive eating contest yesterday?
I did.
Is that gross?
72 hot dogs in 10 minutes by the great Joey Chestnut. And can I say that I've never watched 1 minute of any of that?
Never.
Never one time.
No desire?
I've seen it by accident, yeah.
I have not even, like this week, I kind of just unplug. I don't watch a lot of things.
Can't be good for your bowels. There's just no way, right?
It's amazing how skinny those guys are. You think you got a bunch of great big people eating? No, they're all they all like BK size in there, lean and mean. And Joey Chestnut set the record. There was talk of him retiring now.
Whoa, hallelujah.
I don't know. I think he's coming back. I think he wants to get 80. I don't think 72 is enough.
Who's the dude that does all the announcing? I heard some audio of that. That guy's out of control.
Oh, George Shea.
George Shea.
Oh, that dude's a legend. These guys all have introductions like it's NBA starting lineups. He does it for like 20, 25 of these guys. He did a rap yesterday for one of the guys.
He did a rap.
Unbelievable.
Really? I know what else. I did see on Saturday, I did watch the fight, the free fight on ESPN, and Manny Pacquiao got used. That was wrong. That dude won that fight, and he won that fight easily. But what was my announcer's name there that I'm talking that just was Tony Atlas?
Teddy
Atlas was on fire, man. He hammered Stephen A. Smith, Al Bernstein Stephen A. Smith. He said, listen, I do a lot of different sports too. And this was live. And he said, but I seem to find a way to prepare myself. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, I mean, that was I didn't get to see that fight, but it seemed like robbery. And that's the issue. First of all, why is Stephen A. Smith a boxing announcer all of a sudden? But, you know. He works for ESPN.
He doesn't prepare himself. He said, I don't know much about this guy. I'm like, well, why don't you find somebody that does?
But, you know, I think a guy like Teddy Atlas, who has spent his entire life in the sport of boxing, is as frustrated as anybody because they're being passed up by UFC as far as popularity goes because it's rigged. It seems shady.
Dude, that was rigged.
And, it happens over and over again where people watch a fight and they say, wait a second. The guy landed 100 more punches than the other guy, and he lost his fight. Are you kidding me?
And we'll stop the fight in the ninth round. Right. Told him, you better start fighting.
So Manny Pacquiao gets his belt robbed, and they don't consolidate belts. They've got too many weight classes and different number letters and this and this. Boxing is just a mess because they're
It was good to see it on TV, though, free. Well, I stayed up late.
That's a step forward to put a free fight on ESPN, and it's something ESPN could pursue. But you got to make sure it's legitimate. Got to make sure the judging is right.
So you think it's fixed so now that they can put it on pay-per-view and people go back to watch it now?
Well, I mean, everybody will have their theory of why, of how you can have three judges who make
wasn't even close.
That bad of a decision. But yeah, I mean, that's where boxing is right now. And that's why, look, UFC has had a steady leadership, consistent pay-per-views that typically pay off, and boxing's all over the place and can't get out of its own way. I mean, that's been the story of the sport, and now the two are coming together with this Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather fight, which is just
that's a setup too.
Seems like a complete scam to get your pay per view dollar.
Sure it is.
Which I'm not going to spend a nickel on. I mean, am I wrong about that's actually late August that they're going to fight that fight, and then there's the big fight that happens the day Texas plays USC in football on the 16th.
A good fight that it should be.
That's Triple G against whatever the other guy's name is. But, you know, we'll get some boxing going. It's summertime.
Is it? You got some Teddy Atlas back there, because he was uncensored, uncut, and awesome.
They gave a trophy, a win, a huge win, to Horn, the local kid, for trying hard. You're not supposed to get it for trying hard. You're supposed to get it for winning. And I thought Pacquiao won the fight. If you go by the real rules, the Marcus of Queensberry rules, who lands the cleaner punches?
Yeah, I mean,
I was gonna have a heart attack.
I know he was on it, man. He was right on too, and it was way too obvious. I mean, if you're gonna fix it, you got to do a better job than that. You can't have one judge so far. He called that guy, and he said you just can't mess it up that bad. He said you can't. You can't be that crooked that poorly. You can't.
Well, and it's another step backwards for boxing.
Sure.
They get a free fight on with a big name like Manny Pacquiao. They put it on over the air cable, you know, not pay per view. And people that did tune in like yourself that saw it thought it was rigged, thought it was a terrible, and even the announcers are saying this thing was a sham. That's not good. You can say, you know, any attention is good attention, but
no, that's not, that was bad.
When it's boxing, it just seems like it's shaky, to say the least.
It just was that, and it was great for TV to get a freebie like that, where boxing, as Teddy Atlas says, it should be free, but nothing is free anymore. I mean, you got to pay for cable anyway, but I think it almost looked like it was set up so now they can go pay-per-view and you want to see that again, because that kid wasn't even close to beating Manny Pacquiao. That's what was sad.
We'll take your thoughts if you did see it over the weekend, whatever you took in, the good, the bad, and the ugly Wednesday. Normally we do it on a Monday, but it feels like a Monday on this Wednesday. So good, bad, and ugly, and Bucky drops the Manny Pacquiao decision on the ugly pile for
That's
the sport
ugly.
Of boxing. We've also got plenty of baseball, which we'll get into. BK's going to lead us through Hot or Not coming up. His thoughts, or he'll lead us through the big questions of the sports Wednesday morning. It's B&E on the Horn. 104.9, it's on AM 1260. We stream it on the Horn app and always at hornfm.com.
What's hot? And what's not?
Temperature's hot today, 100 degrees and sunny. It all tops out on this 5th of July. I don't know if this is hot or not. BK's going to lead us through the topics, but I read this story that says Khloe Kardashian and her boyfriend and fiancé Tristan Thompson, the former Longhorn Buck, spent a lot of time together at something called the Inner Health Center in California, which offers colon cleansing, and that the couple does his and her colonics together for good health. Colonics. They also offer at this place called the Inner Health Center in Tarzana, California, they offer something called ear candling. You ever heard of ear candling?
I heard of ear wax.
This is unbelievable what people will pay
for. You stick
a
wick in there along with the wax?
No, I had to look this up once I saw ear candling, in addition to the colon cleanse. Uses of ear candling. Ear candling involves inserting a long cylindrical candle into the ear, lighting it on the other end like a long straw, and then they light the other end of a candle. It says here the heat produced from the candle helps to draw out excess earwax and other debris which may be present in your ear canal.
Well, what are you going to do with your pencils and your pens and stuff then?
Actual doctors are skeptical that this actually does anything for you.
Tristan's doing that.
I don't know if he's doing the ear candling. This story here I'm reading says they're doing the his and her colonics.
I don't like that part either. I've had those.
I thought they were
that
done.
Colonoscopy done, and that's a cleansing to itself. And there's a purpose for that, though. At least I'm not going
you
just
told
for
the
fun.
Story
of it.
When you were a kid and your mom gave you the barium enema.
Oh no, it was soap in the warm water. It wasn't barium. They used soap back then in those days to do that. They didn't care.
Threw you in the bathtub.
Ivory soap. Put your thumb in your mouth and turn sideways in the tub. That was horrifying. It's one of the most horrifying things ever to have your mom see you just put your thumb in your mouth. Come here, honey. Sit down in the tub. Turn sideways. No! No, I don't think that. See, there's nothing. So, I guess bleaching is, you know, there's nothing
not
wrong with
there.
That. Well, there's nothing wrong with a good bleaching.
Let's get to BK before we go too far. BK, what up, man?
I don't even know. I don't even know anymore, guys.
ear candling.
Nasty. Well, today is National Bikini Day, National Graham Cracker Day, and National Turnover Day. You guys buying any of those?
Bikini Day, I'm good with that.
I'm going to see Tristan Thompson in a bikini with Kardashian. Is that the next move?
I'm into one pieces now. At this age now, I'm into one piece.
Ladies in one pieces?
Yeah, one pieces are sexy.
I
like a one piece.
If it's done well.
Yes.
National Bikini Day.
There you go.
No mankinis, though.
No.
No grave smuggler.
No, those days are gone.
Well, what do you? You're European. You claim. What do Europeans wear?
We still go below the knee, with some baggy
like
outfits.
Boat shorts.
Yeah,
and stuff?
Kind of boat shorts, but lots of color. Color is the big deal. And I got some nice red ones. Like, I got lifeguard red. I still got lifeguard red going on.
Nice.
Like a little lifeguard red and some blues now. Yes, Baywatch. Thank you.
All right, guys, over to sports. Gordon Hayward, of course, the last big fish in NBA free agency, announces via the Players Tribune. That was a whole mess yesterday. There were reports out that he was going to Boston, then his agent was denying those. Then about 5 hours later, he posts on the Players Tribune that he is, in fact, going to the Celtics. So finally, another star player goes to the Eastern Conference. Of course, Boston was the one seed last year in the East. They did make the conference finals before losing to Cleveland in 5 games. Guys, the addition of Gordon Hayward, does that put Boston anywhere closer to Cleveland's level? Can we have the LeBron reign over the East end this year, or is Boston still not quite there yet?
I mean, I think it's a step, and he's a piece. But is he a superstar player or just a star player? And that becomes the question. And obviously, he'll help spread the floor and knock down shots, and he's a good all-around player. Plus, he played for his now coach Brad Stevens at Butler, so there's a reuniting there. They almost won a national championship at Butler. My question to that question, Buck, is where is Cleveland going to be? I mean, you know LeBron James is there. There's so much negative vibe coming out of Cleveland right now. Chauncey Billups turned the job down to be the team's president. They got rid of the general manager. The reports are LeBron James is not actively helping them pursue free agents this offseason, meaning, you know, we need more pieces to get better. He's not out there lobbying for it. Does Cleveland come in prime to make another run, or are they vulnerable because people assume LeBron is going into his last year in Cleveland and that ship has sailed? I don't know. Obviously, Cleveland's still the favorite, but that's the only chance Boston has if Cleveland slips backwards.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron's going to get whatever he wants. You know, he's going to talk to Dan Gilbert and say, well, yeah, I'm staying, whether he is or not, but he's going to get whatever he wants. He has been quiet. Maybe he's just saying, you know what? Guys, you know, we beat the Warriors. So I know they were up 3-1 the year that they actually beat them, and they probably should have lost that. But LeBron, that's still a good team in Cleveland. And that's a really solid basketball team. If they make some tweaks and do, Kyrie Irving is a legitimate superstar. I didn't believe he was. You talked me into that one. And he's played up to it. I just think they need to tweak what they do a little bit more, too. I don't know what big move they're going to make. I can't see them do anything that's going to change very much. I don't know how you break into the lineup with that. They're going to keep J.R. Richards or whoever he is. They're going to keep him. They like him.
J.R. Smith.
Well, they like him, so they're going to keep him. You know, he's going to still be around. He's still buddies with LeBron.
They got Christy Brinkley on that team, too.
No, Christy, she's not playing there. But they've got the Gazzy. That's a good, solid basketball team. Now, is LeBron going to bolt after next year?
That's the mindset becomes my question. With the where are they? Chemistry-wise, is going to be the issue. Because remember, when Jimmy Butler was going to be traded, there was reports that Kyrie Irving was calling around saying he's going to ask for a trade and don't come here, you don't want to be here, it's toxic, things like that. Again, those are all reports, unnamed reports and sources, but we'll see. And that's Boston's chance, is that Cleveland slips. And the other side of that is, if Carmelo Anthony gets bought out by the Knicks and all of a sudden you add Carmelo Anthony on a low-price deal to that team, and he all of a sudden is a part of that roster. Well, obviously that changes everything, because Carmelo has shown he can't lead a team to the promised land, but he can certainly, you would think, on a team with LeBron James and Kyrie Irving, he'd be a heck of a piece.
Oh, he's another scoring option, which besides what they brought in last year, the 3-point shooter, Corbin. That's
Kyle Korver.
Yeah, what else did they have? They didn't have another guy, that was going to do it. Well, Shumpert is not a shooter.
So I suggested earlier, somebody laughed at me and said he could be your sixth man. But you bring Carmelo Anthony in, and you have your starting five, and LeBron can get a blow, and you bring in Carmelo Anthony to replace the scoring, and defense has to focus on him. And maybe it lights a fire under Carmelo that maybe he has a chance to go win a championship,
right,
which he has not done. We shall see. Now, Houston would also like to be in that Carmelo Anthony conversation.
Now, I really don't see that working in Houston. If I'm the Spurs, I'm begging for Carmelo Anthony to come to.
I know.
I mean, come on, bring him in.
Yeah, with Chris Paul and James Harden. All right, BK, what else?
Yeah, that was it. You guys kind of led me into my next question. Carmelo Anthony, will he get bought up by the Knicks? Will he get traded? Of course, time will tell. He does have a no-trade clause, but he can waive that if he wants. So if in fact he does go to Houston or Cleveland or maybe a Boston, is Carmelo Anthony still the type of player? You know, we know he doesn't have the reputation as a winner, but he's been an all-star many times in this league. Is he a type of player who could potentially shift the balance of power in the NBA?
Well, I don't know if it shifts the balance of power, but and I don't know where his head is. Is Carmelo Anthony just willing to stay with the Knicks and then be nothing? They've got the young superstar with their team. Carmelo stays there. That guy just, he likes New York. He just might like to be there and could care less. Just collect his money.
Obviously, James Dolan would have to buy him out, and some people believe that was the rift between he and Phil Jackson. That was kind of the last straw with Phil. So,
when you like to just collect your money, have enough money to live in New York, your wife makes a lot of money, you just hang out there.
By the way, I did see his wife on that show, Power. You like that show, Power?
She was on there?
Yeah, she's on that show.
I didn't see the new episodes. I haven't seen any of the new episodes.
I think it's two episodes in.
I'm behind.
Of year two.
You've been sneaking in on Power a little bit. Have you?
I saw a little bit of it. And she's in it. She's Lala is
50 Cent is good in that, man.
50 Cent's in that show. Pretty good. Pretty good. But yeah, she's in this. So she's doing her thing, acting. I don't even know if they're still married today. Hey, this says ear candling works. You can get them at Whole Foods. I'm reading right here that this says doctors are recommending don't do it.
I'm not sticking anything in there. My brain's already screwed up. I'm not sticking anything in
ear
there.
Ear candling, you people will buy anything. Look at this right here. $123.
What?
Jet.com for the ear candling cylinders for yourself. $123.09.
I'm not doing that. That's not happening.
Earwax?
It's ear candling. I mean, people are...
Go to your doctor. Go to...
Pour some candle wax in your ear. That'll help.
What you do is they have a little suction thing. You can suck the wax out. You don't have to do any of that stuff.
That seen on TV thing.
As seen
on
TV.
Buy one of those.
1-800.
People try anything. Whatever. All in good health. All in the name of health. You know what I'm saying?
Let's get healthy.
Health and prosperity.
That's right.
We'll be back. B&E on the Horn. It's 104.9. Also on 101.9 FM. Also on AM 1260. We stream it on the Horn app and always at hornfm.com.